Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 20, we were talking about the covenant between David and Jonathan, and how loyal Jonathan was to Saul. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Well, let's look here at the problem stated in verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, we see that David flees to his friend, Jonathan. Now, I believe that he acted because of the covenant he and Jonathan made back in chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. There we read, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. When there's a covenant between two people, those two make a promise to each other. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, to his bow, and to his girdle. So that's a result of that covenant. And David believed Jonathan, and he did rightly so. But David knows this is his friend. But he also knows this is Saul's son who's trying to kill David. But then on the other hand, David also knows Saul is God's anointed. He knows that Jonathan is a great warrior, and he's duty-bound to his father. And he will continue to fight Israel's battles with his father. So David knows this about his friend Jonathan, and it does not deter him from doing what he ought to do. Now, don't see this story as Jonathan in rebellion against his father Saul or his parents. As a matter of fact, we'll see later in this book that Jonathan died at his father's side, fighting at Gibeah, fighting against the armies of the Philistines. He died true to his father. But on the other hand, David knows that Jonathan is a godly man and that he is a man of his word. Our Lord is that kind of a friend to us. He's the one that we can always go to. In Psalm 62, verse 8, it says this, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Think about it, in other words. The Lord above all people on the earth is the one to whom you can pour out your heart and find the need is met. If you can't pour out your heart to God, then who can you pour it out to? Usually, the ones that we choose fall short. You can pour out your heart for $100 an hour to a psychiatrist, or you can pour out your heart to the God who loves you and has the best counsel that will meet the need, and you can do that freely. The trouble many Christians have is they don't look at God as a tangible person, as somebody real. It's almost like somebody out there, we say a prayer, almost like witches do incantations. It seems like there's a lack of the spiritual. Only the idea of some kind of a feeling, some kind of a manifestation, a miracle, or whatever, but we don't get the personal relationship. God is a person. We're created in His image, and there is a personal relationship. My friend, don't be afraid to pour out your heart to God. He already knows your heart, but He wants you to pour it out to Him. Pour out your heart to God. Well, David's questions in verse 1 here of our text are not argumentative or rebellious. He said, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before your dad, is what he's saying, that he's wanting to kill me. You know, honest questions are asked because David has proven his loyalty. He has proven his love to King Saul. He's been a good soldier. Yet there may be a question in his own mind that if I've done something wrong, let me know what it is and what I can do about it. And we'll see that just a little bit later when we get a little bit further here in this chapter of this book. But David's wondering about it. He's wondering about it. When David is unjustly criticized and attacked, his response is not anger. It's not vengeance. It's not accusation. Do you remember whom the Bible uses as an example of that? It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about Jesus Christ. In verse 23 it says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. You see, sometimes the spirit of criticism will take over in our hearts. Some people have a spirit of criticism for churches, preachers, Sunday school teachers, music directors, youth directors, what have you. And especially there where the word is preached. And it's interesting because they'll sit in church wanting to hear and listen to see something to find fault with. And they're not listening to get fed by the Spirit of God. They're not listening to learn from the Word. Instead, they're waiting to hear something that they can say something about it to someone else. I can remember being in college, and we'd go to chapel, and I remember one day walking outside the door of the chapel, and there's a group of guys I knew, six, seven of them, kind of standing in a circle talking, and I was going to walk up to them. Now, I was a married student, so I didn't have a whole lot of fellowship, dorm time, and things like that with the guys, but I saw them, knew them, so I went over there to talk, and man, they were saying all the things that the speaker up there that day had said wrong. Man, I was thinking, wow, how did I miss that? I'm thinking, man, alive, how spiritually dumb I am. I didn't even catch that. I walked out the door the next day, and they're doing the same thing. A different speaker. And for the next couple of weeks, they had a different speaker. They would be out there just going over everything he said wrong. And I found myself wanting to listen to find something wrong so I could contribute to the conversation. But you know, the Spirit of God will convict us of those things, and He did me, and I was so wrong. I realized I did not need to be a part of that group. And you see, when you start listening that way, you have a critical spirit. And the problem is, many times, that critical spirit gets in there, and because we are thinking we're being good Christians doing that, we lack the capacity to see that it's the sin of sowing discord, which is an abomination to God. The spirit of criticism is never the spirit of a good Christian. is not the spirit of someone you should follow. And just remember this. Know the Word of God so well that when something that is erroneous is said, you can stand up and say, no, that's wrong. And you can stand against it. But don't go through with a fine-tooth comb like a courtroom lawyer trying to just find something wrong. Well, that's what they said, but that's not what they meant. Oh, boy, I tell you, that is a problem when people get like that. How about Ephesians 5:25? Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, a true love involves giving of yourself. Instead of looking to find what's wrong with that person, you're looking to do what you can to help that person to be what they ought to be in Christ. So David is exercising as Christ loved us, the opposite of a critical spirit. How do we respond when brethren attack us? Is it honesty, as Christ loved us? Maybe those things others say are a result of being tempted by Satan. Maybe God allows it to test our obedience and our reaction to show us what we are, even though the accusations may be false. I'm in my 60s, a minister of my age that's been in the ministry for years. We quit answering a long time ago people that attack us and say things about us. We won't have any time to do anything else if we do that. And so understanding that that's just the way it is, we kind of pass up those things. And matter of fact, sometimes I kind of have the attitude it makes them feel so good to say those things about me that even if it is false and wrong, that I hate to break up their joy, you know. So God knows, and that's what's important because he's the one we're trying to please. But yeah, we need to understand that that person that's critical of us, that person that sows discord, they're not our enemy. It's the spirits. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And all of those are organizations of devils, of spirits, and they fight this battle as an army against us. And so a lot of times when we have to oppose things, we're opposing that, but those things are in people, and the critical spirit gets in people. We can oppose the critical spirit, but love those people. Speak the truth in love, as Ephesians 4:15 states. And that's what we need to do. Speaking the truth in love does not mean that you water down the stand against sin. Doesn't mean that you water down holiness. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.